start a new worship series over the next couple of weeks, the next 3 weeks, called Getting Confused. I want to talk about just the vernacular of that, which is called, why we call it Getting Confused. Because, first of all, people often say, you've got Jesus, you have Jesus, getting and having Jesus. So there's that sense of the term, and then all means, I get Jesus. There's the other sense of the term, which is to know, understand. Do you really get Jesus? We're going to look at three stories in the next three passages that help us understand what it means to really get Jesus. Because, as we've seen today, even those who walk with Jesus often don't get Jesus. It's funny, I'm using this pencil today as a bookmark because I lost my other sticky note for about a year. It fell off. All three of them were playing. This is one of those pencils that David very used for his own moments. We'll joke about later. Make sure your campfire is completely out before leaving. And we'll be the bear and James, the writer of the letter of the New Testament, all on the same page. James, once again, is showing us exactly how to view our budget in light of the testimony. There's a reason, as I've said before, Mark Luther does not enjoy of the straw gospel. Because James is a hard lesson. He says today, basically, I wanted to call this Sunday school teacher with triple knowledge. The first thing that Clay read was, it's good that not many of you are teachers. James is corrupt. James is often what we need to know. But James is particularly appropriate today because James is a lot of his letters writing about our we are all, one degree or another, very good at saying different things at the same time. Right? It's really obvious we're all speaking two ways, right? Sometimes we're doing that because we understand that they want to say one thing, well, somebody else or something else. Sometimes that's really easy to pick out, right? It's like rooting for Auburn in Alabama. And a child showing some fans, though, are pretty vehement about not rooting for Auburn. I might have heard someone say that they would only turn on an Auburn game if they were rooting for a match. I might have heard someone say that yesterday. I won't name the names. The same goes both ways. We don't want people to really hold that tension. Like people to be able to be either consistently neutral or independent. If we want people to be able to know what people can, and at the same time, it's easy for us to be in the two different places depending on the topic. It gets even harder taking the word James thing. He spends this part of the letter talking about should be teachers, because all of us make mistakes. Again, there's irony there because he's writing. Let that go. We shouldn't be teachers. We should all just make mistakes. Anybody who does make mistakes is perfect. Talking about writing, talking about speaking. And then he goes on to say, not so much about what we should do to people, but the difference in the crux of the matter, which is how many of you with the same mouth praise God and then speak ill of those who obey. The Old Testament is pretty easy to have the insiders and the outsiders. You left Egypt for Moses, you're an insider. And all those other people are outsiders. So all of us, we're God's chosen people, and the rest of them, don't worry about it. But Jesus will show up time and time again. We talked about last week, the desire to teach a woman. He shows up to people. physical needs, we need sometimes to struggle to get to that point. Eventually, Jesus says, no, no, you're right, you belong to God and His Spirit. Jesus won't accept the common distinction and the common boundary. He defines closest neighbor as the Samaritan, the one who should be the outsider. Jesus says, no, no, basically, we're all made in the image of God. And if that's the case, then who do we get to talk badly about? Yeah, man, I mean, we need like a safe third party that we can all agree to be. We can say, I talked to Jesus about this, and he agreed to it. You guys can. Capability of professing that we love God and then going ahead and talking poorly about others or talking poorly about anything or just using our mouths to talk to us. I think at the root of that is the story of Simon Peter and Sarah. Jesus takes the disciples and he's walking with his 12, his intimate around him. He's walking through this place where they would have worshipped Caesar. This cult of worship. And as he's walking through this place of Caesar and worship, he says, who do people say that I am? Oh, yeah, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. And then he says, who do you say that I am? You're the Messiah. The one who's going to save you. And they get this. Jesus said, he is the best Messiah. He says, come. He embraces called the Markan Messianic Secret, which is just a simple way of saying every time Jesus gets called Messiah, he tells people not to talk. But I want you to get the juxtaposition when he is the best Messiah, the chosen one who is to come. He says, don't talk. He turns around and starts talking about the suffering that he must undertake. And we are explicitly told in the Gospel of Mark that he speaks openly. Intimate group with the 12. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, who speaks for all of us, says, you're the Messiah. You're the chosen. And then Jesus begins to talk about suffering. And then Simon Peter, who represents us so well, says, based on Jesus. He's made some errors in the field. It's like a conference. Jesus, you know, catcher's calling for a curveball. He throws sliders. You gotta stop that. Jesus says, this tragic line. Get behind Jesus. What's interesting about that line is that it's the same root for the initial call. Get behind me and follow me are the same thing. When Jesus encounters Peter and the disciples fishing, he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers. And he says essentially the same thing. No, no, Peter, remember, this is a call. Somewhere on our way to the faith, also interesting that they were on the way. People of faith, before they were called Christians, were called people of the way. Meaning they had a certain practice and way of life that defined them. And while they were on the way, while we are on the way in the middle of our faith, something happens We start out following, and then we somehow believe that we get to. That's what Peter does. He says, you're the leader, the chosen one, but let's do this in more simply. Jesus says, no, get behind me, follow me. Instead of calling him Peter, this time he calls him Satan. And then, he starts bringing in others. And there's some sense that initially he's talking to the 12, but if they won't get it, they won't follow, he's going to bring in a larger. We could say it like this: the plans of God will not be thwarted. We're invited to participate in them. Sometimes if we don't get it, it doesn't mean that God is thwarted. At the same time, we know that Peter ultimately becomes the rock upon which the church. He not only messes up here, he also denies Jesus 3 times. He also still has to have some sort of like vision of bacon on a blanket on top of the roof in order to incorporate the Gentile lessons in Acts. You can look up in the back of your Bible bacon. You probably find it. I looked at bacon like you told me to, but it's not in the Bible at all. Don't send me that. Peter is such a great example of this idea. You can say one thing and then turn around and say something entirely. He professes that the one he's been walking with, chosen one of God, and then tells the chosen one of God how to handle it. I think sometimes it's easy for us to worship God and to turn around and to use our tongues to do ungodly things because it's a loose. We don't want to really follow someone. We want instant gratification. See, the claim of Jesus and the claim of the gospel is that, yes, God is the victor. Christus victor. The cross may be what seems like the end, but the tomb is empty and Jesus is in. So many times, hard to set 3 long days, 30 long years, to this what seems like believe that in the end, all things are going to work out. Sometimes it doesn't fill us the same kind of joy wanting things to work out. All of us who came from faith, well, we come in a variety of ways, but ultimately, all of us, every tradition of Christianity, from Catholics before the split of the church, to the Orthodox, to the Church of Christ that doesn't have music, doesn't have instruments, all of us enter the faith with some sort of confession saying, we want to follow Jesus. I wonder today how many of us really still get to follow Jesus is an awkward, troubling, trying, countercultural. Following Jesus means we believe in things we cannot see. And we believe that tombs will ultimately be empty. And we will worship and follow until that day is reality. Lamar makes a great point. It's easy to follow Jesus well on some, depending on how your fantasy is. I'm struggling with it. No, I did fire. I just want to be very clear. I've had a few football comments early. I don't think that's really where God's heart is. But I wonder how many of us are good at following God so fervently. And I don't mean being a Christian, okay? Culturally, being a Christian is very different than following the way. It's more than just every head bowed, every eye closed, getting dumped in the pool, sprinkled, splashed, however you need to walk. It's about following Jesus every day. Professing that his way, this weird way of suffering, being friends with the loser, that way is God. It will be interesting, should you care to have hard homework, to become aware of your habits. You know, there's a saying about ignorance being bliss. And I don't think that's any more true than when it's about ourselves. Self-awareness makes you different. It's what makes you super awkward. All of you dance beautifully. I don't care how weird. But we live our lives with none of that awareness. We don't stop to ask what I'm thinking or doing or writing or saying. Is that in line with the gospel? Is that in line with the way of Christ? We're so unself-aware most of the time. Just doing it. I wonder how our lives would be. We would pause during the day and say, not only is what I'm doing, but is what I'm thinking. The amazing thing about the gospel is that even though Jesus said, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, this is really going to be a bummer. That ultimately Peter denies that suffering is the way of God. Suffer as much as he needs to suffer. Because something in him changes. He eventually, and what a graceful word, eventually understands that Jesus is God. That it's not power that saves us.